Hi, this is Bill Lindeke for the Streets.mn podcast, conversations about transportation, public space, and urban design in the Twin Cities. The podcast this week is a conversation with Amanda Lovely. Amanda is a public artist and urban designer who is currently working as the artist in residence for the city of St. Paul. She's one of two, or maybe is it three, people who have that position in, within the public works department in the city. Amanda has a fascinating resume of public art projects that promote engagement and use urban space in a whole bunch of interesting ways. Her latest project is in downtown St. Paul in a temporary two-year park installation in a vacant lot that once housed a luggage store. We sat down last week on a nice sunny day on this circle of paving stones in the middle of this pile of dirt in what will be a new park called Flower Field. While we were there, volunteers and workers were literally moving the dirt around and setting up the future flower beds as we talked, so forgive the ambient noise. It was also a little bit windy. But we had a great conversation about her public art career, the role of art in public space, the potential of downtown St. Paul, and what it's like for an artist to work in a city public works department, which is, you know, kind of an interesting intersection of two different sorts of career paths. So I hope you enjoy the conversation.
I'm sitting here in a former gravel pit that used to be a parking lot at the corner of 10th and Robert in downtown St. Paul with Amanda Lovely, who is the city artist in residence, one of the two of those, in St. Paul. Hi, Amanda.
Hi.
Can you describe where we are or what's going on right now?
Yeah, so we're sitting in what I've been calling the urban flower field, which will someday become Pedro Park. And up until about a month ago, it was a gravel pit with a lot of weeds. And through Public Art St. Paul and my job as the city artist in residence and working with the Parks and Rec for the city of St. Paul, they've let us have this space for 2 years to turn it into a public gathering space. And so currently, over in the right corner of the park is some of the St. Thomas students they're going to be planting 96 plots of biodiverse flowers for a soil remediation project that's actually going to be working to clean the soil for the future park. And then in the back corner is Eric Berg, who's one of the contractors who's been working on the space to create our ADA accessible path and start to regrade the land to turn it into an accessible area for people to gather. And in the center, where we're sitting right now, is going to be the future patio space, which I'm hoping will be kind of like a classroom that people can use.
Yeah, we're like on this round, sort of bricky type thing in the middle of a big pile of dirt. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, so when the project came together, I had met with Adam Kay, who is a biology professor at St. Thomas, and he was really interested in doing this project on biodiversity, and last year they had planted these square plots, and so I asked him, could the plots be planted in any shape? And he said yes, and so I started to think about...
What about a rhombus?
Well, I started to think about what shape is that, where does art and science intersect? And I thought about the golden mean and the Fibonacci sequence, and thinking a lot about maybe that's the first point in my mind where art and science come together, where you begin to see beauty in science. And so I worked with the St. Thomas students and landscape architects for the city to create this design where the 96 plots are going to spiral into this big circle. And then this big circle kind of spirals up into this mural that's on the wall that's also based on the...
Oh my God, I didn't even look at that yet.
Turn around, Bill.
Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah, okay. That was cool. It's really interesting. Diving into the park, future of the park, like, talked about you and ask you where you're coming from. You are a photographer and you are a mom, you're an artist. So what's your background in public space and art?
So many hats. So I have a BFA in photo, an MFA from Minneapolis College in Art and Design and Media and Video, and so for a while I was an adjunct professor teaching media there. And in a lot of my work, I began to think about where do people gather in contemporary society. And so my thesis in graduate school was on beekeepers and ice fishermen. And I was just really interested in finding these spaces where people come together and feeling like they're kind of disappearing. Uh-huh. And so I started to build tools to bring people together. And so I did a big project on square dancing where I wanted strangers to hold hands. And
dancing's really interesting. I used to do square dancing when I was growing up. And you hold hands with a lot of people, like hundreds of people in an evening. And that's kind of weird in the modern context, but it used to be normal.
Yeah, the first time I went with a girlfriend, because I'm not from Minnesota, so I didn't even really know what square dancing was. And I was like, really? We're going to go square dancing? And I went with a friend who had never been before either. And when we left, she had said to me, this is the most I've been touched in years. And I really thought about that. Like, where do strangers touch? And where do we touch across age and race? And I'd grown up in a really small town in upstate New York, going to a really small church that the whole town went to. And for me, it had not much to do with religion, but a lot to do with gathering. And now, as a mom, and raising a son, and not having that in my life or that space, I think I'm really searching for where is that space where everything else is a race that we just all come together to be.
Well, everything being a race, that seems a little ambitious, you know, because some things are still there. Like in square dancing, you still have a collar, you still have some rules, you have music.
I think a race in my life, and that's why I've been looking for these spaces. So, like square dancing is an amazing community. By just doing the project that I did, the Call and Answer project, I have made some of my closest friends and have really stayed connected to the community. And like Colin Harris, who was a fiddle player that I worked with in that project, has become a collaborator on building the Really Big Table.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Can you talk about the Really Big Table? How did you come up with the name for that?
We were just sitting together and we both were like, I want to build a really big table. We're like, done. And Colin's like, I want it to be pulled by a bike. And I was like, I want it to be a book that holds stories. And we're like, all right, done. And so we both got money through Irrigate. So we had $2,000.
Can you explain what Irrigate is?
Yeah, it's through Springboard for the Arts. And it was to do projects along the Green Line. And it was a really easy way to access some funding, kind of like a seed grant in our mind to get a project going. So we had $2,000 and a really big hope, and then came to the realization that neither of us knew how to build anything. So we brought on a really good friend, Josh Birdsell, who's also an architect, architectural designer. And so Josh helped design the table. And together, the three of us built it. Well, I think Hudson was about 2 months old.
That's your son.
Yeah. So I wore Hudson in a baby carrier while working on building the really big table. But made some really great friendships, and last year the table was rented 17 times across the Twin Cities.
Yeah, and it's like this big wooden table. How long is it?
30 feet.
And you tow it around and you just set it up in a public space or somewhere in like an alley or something, and then people sit at it and you have like different things can happen, right?
Yeah, we feel like it's a tool for conversations, and it kind of engages this underutilized spaces. And we usually will pull out a table runner, that's a big piece of paper, and ask a question, and so people can draw and write on it. And a lot of times when we use it, we exchange, like if you sit down and talk to a stranger, you get a free cookie. So we help initiate some conversations. And
that's cool. You think Minnesotans are particularly hard to get to communicate and touch each other, not literally necessarily, but in other ways, or are we just like anywhere else?
I think we're just like anywhere else.
Because we have a reputation as being sort of cold and distant.
I haven't found that yet, and maybe I'm looking in all the warm circles.
Yeah, well, good, because let's debunk that myth.
Yeah, let's totally debunk it. And I think that the arts community here has a lot of funding for projects that involve community and civic thinking, and I think that's rare, and it really create some creative ways of thinking about bringing people together. And a lot of really strong artists who are thinking about those tools.
So, like, this is all really great stuff. And the way the art and sort of social I don't know, outreach, engagement stuff kind of combines around certain specific spaces and places. And so you got a job with Marcus Young in Public Arts St. Paul to work with the city of St. Paul specifically, right? Do you have like a desk in an office or someplace or something? Like, are you in a department?
Yeah, so we're housed in Public Works. So I'm on the same floor as the bridge engineers and the people in control of all the lights in the city of St. Paul, like stoplights. And I have a cubicle and a PC computer, which I use for printing, and then I bring my Mac laptop to sit next to it.
That's pretty funny.
And I have a city business card.
Wow.
And a city email address. And it's a really amazing job because we get to be housed within the city. It just means access to making projects happen is a lot easier. So I can just go up to someone's desk and ask them a question instead of trying to write 1,000 emails and maybe not getting a response or seeming like the odd artist who wants to do something. I'm one of them.
Plus, you can look at people and talk to people face to face, which makes a big difference. It's what your art is all about, really.
Yep. Yeah, like, I feel like I've been given the opportunity to kind of live my art as my job, which is a really rare, like, I feel like every day is an experiment. Which is kind of a dream. When I saw the job come up, it was my dream job. I was really excited.
I'm glad they hired you.
I am too.
So, like, does this change at all if you're thinking about working with the whole city instead of just a specific project or whatever? Like, how do you walk around and look at spaces or think about, like, stoplights? Or how do you engage with the urban built environment?
Yeah, so I think I've only been there in November, it'll be 2 years. And so up until recently, I think I've done a lot more work on the inside. So I'm at a lot of meetings and I'm invited to a lot of conversations and I'm always just listening and doing research and just listening to what the city is trying to do and really thinking about how do I translate the needs of the city and what they're trying to accomplish and then the needs of the citizens. How do I reunite them in a love relationship instead of a back and forth disagreement? I'm really hoping that I want the citizens to be re-excited about civic engagement and helping to reimagine our cities. I think somewhere along the line, our generation got this idea that it's like us versus the man and that we can't create change. And I think that's made for some really sad community meetings where it's a group of white men over the age of 60 at the table and they're making a lot of the decisions when it's supposed to be the community. And how do we invite people back to that conversation and back to the table and back to the idea that we own our parks? Like, that's something I just learned.
Yeah. And our streets, too.
Yeah, and our streets. And that we can reimagine them together, and that if we work on that, we can create change in these cities, and we can design them in a way that we want to inhabit them.
So we're sitting in a cool example of that, and you started talking about it, but I'm trying to imagine or remember what this was like. This is sort of a part of downtown St. Paul that's a little bit on the edge of where the economic and sort of social heart of the city would be, which would be these two parks. One's called Mears Park and one's called Rice Park, sort of on one side of 7th Street, which is sort of a barrier. And then this part of downtown is like is a little bit removed and sort of downtrodden and has a lot of sort of vacant buildings or I don't know what that building is, but kind of like it's not necessarily where a lot of people hang out, but it's starting to flip around pretty quickly right now.
Yeah, the change is happening quickly with the Black Sheep and the Keys Cafe and Sawadee and Base Camp, and then around the corner is a new brewery, and then the Lunds, the first full-service grocery store in downtown St. Paul, is right on the corner of the park, and then the Penfield was just built, the big housing complex.
Yeah, and so Robert Street, like, this used to be like a luggage store called Pedro's Luggage, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and the Pedro family, when they took down the store, donated this land to the city to turn into a park.
Huh, that's cool. And then how long ago was that?
I'm not sure that would be a good question to ask the people in parks.
Yeah. Well, I think it was a while ago when Pedro's closed and was torn down, like 4 years maybe. And then it's just kind of been like sitting here. And then how did, you just were walking by and were like, hey, that's a space?
No, so it was working within the city. So Public Art St. Paul had received money from Art Place America to do projects. And so both me and Marcus Young were kind of allowed to think about whatever it is we want to do. And I had been working in parks, helping with a playground project, and was getting to know the people in parks. And so I just asked the question, if you could do a project anywhere, like, where would you guys want to do something? And one of the landscape architects had suggested this space. And I only had $10,000, and so I was like, well, what if we took out the weeds and we just planted sunflowers along the hill, and then made these cards that we would hand out, and on the front would be a sunflower, and on the back, a link, a QR code to the planning process so that people could start to follow the planning and hopefully get involved. And then they could hang those sunflowers in their window, and it'd become these vertical fields of sunflowers, kind of in support of the growing of this park. And then the city wanted to go bigger.
Uh-huh.
And so more funding was found.
Isn't it amazing how you can just find like 20 grand, like, you know, if you look in the right place?
Yeah. And so
I can't, but other people can do this.
The project just kind of grew overnight, which took a little while to get my hands around, to have a quarter block of land for 2 years, and what could I do with that? And some money, but not a ton of money.
Yeah.
And
what was the total budget?
$40,000.
That's nothing in the city scheme of things.
And for 2 years. So I really had to think strategically about how to make something happen here. And that's when I realized I needed partners, and that I couldn't do this alone, and that this project was really going to be based on partnership. And found St. Thomas and the permaculture, cold weather permaculture, Ecological Gardens, and just really started to bring in partners, and MCAD also donated some money for interns, and found Ed Charbonneau to paint the mural. And so it really became a team of people thinking about the space and how we could use it and how to turn it into both an art, like most importantly it's an art installation, but it involves the civic process and science.
You know, you know what MathNet is? It was like a TV show for on PBS when I was growing up. It was like it was like Dragnet, but for mathematicians, and it was on PBS, okay? And then that's where I first learned about the Fibonacci sequence. Like, they had this thing on there where they were trying to determine what 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, or however it goes.
Yeah.
Did I do it okay? 8,
I hope so.
13. Something like that. But yeah, that's like kind of what you were thinking of, and like the way that flower petals and everything.
Yeah, so the center of a sunflower is the Fibonacci sequence. And I was envisioning originally this field of sunflowers, because to me sunflowers represented the people of downtown and how they kind of drop their heads at night, and as the sun comes up they come back up and they rotate towards the sun, and they're like an active, alive flower.
Wow, that's cool. I never thought about myself as a sunflower.
You are a big, shiny sunflower, Bill.
Thanks. I like that.
Yeah.
Cool. And so when is this going to be done? Right now it's dirt, right?
Yeah, so this week is a big planting week. We're going to be putting in the grass seed, I think, on Thursday. And the students are creating the 96 plots and laying them out and measuring. And those will be planted by the end of the week as well.
Those are all circles that I see going in right now?
Yep. Those are the circles, and they kind of come out in these arms that reach around, and between the arms will be grass that you can kind of walk into the center space.
How do you picture this being used?
Well, we're going to have three events here in the summer. We'll have one at the end of June. It's June 28th. It's just going to be the big opening event, and the community can come and paint field stones that the St. Thomas students are going to be gathering from local fields. And each of the field stones can then be placed, so you're like making your mark on the park and leaving your field stone, and they'll be placed around the flower beds. And then anyone who paints one of those will get a wooden nickel for $5 off or half off pizza at the Black Sheep. And we're gonna have lemonade here and hopefully some music from McNally Smith. And then we'll be hosting an event with the City Art Collaboratory and the St. Thomas student biology students and the MCAD art students, kind of talking about these collaborations between art and science. So that'll be a happy hour on July 16th, and there'll be lemonade as well then, and pizza. And then we're going to have a movie night here in August. I think it's Friday, August 15th. We're going to have a movie that's going to be projected here, and hopefully have popcorn, and people can order their pizza from Black Sheep and come have a picnic and watch a movie in downtown St. Paul.
That's so cool. I just noticed this is kind of like a map too, right?
Yep. Yeah, so the yellow lines represent the streets and the city grid. So 10th and Robert coming together, and the green space is the future park. And then circles are spiraling out and coming down, so this final circle lands right here. So we're like the beginning of the sequence.
That's so cool. Is the two-year timeline like an important part of this? Is it like a temporary thing, like inherently and on purpose?
Yeah, so it was originally talked about as a pop-up park, but I liked to remind the city that pop-up parks are usually like rebar in a parking space, and they're usually for a day. So this is kind of a different scale when thinking about the project, because that we do live in Minnesota, and what's it going to be in the winter, and how will this project change for the next year?
I actually prefer not to think about the winter at all.
Okay, let's just pretend I didn't say that. Sunflowers, yeah. Big yellow sunflowers.
But in 2 years, like, what'll happen? Is it gonna be turned into a condo or something?
No, it will become a park.
Okay.
And so the city is working on that.
So it's still up in the air, and who knows what'll happen?
It will be a park someday.
Yeah, but what kind? Like, why wouldn't you just like keep this because it's so cool?
So the building behind us is going to come down.
Oh, really?
This is the police training annex. So that building's going to come down, and then there'll be half a block to turn into a future park.
Okay, I didn't know that. Well, yeah. That's really cool. I think there's, like you said, like temporary spaces, you know, like in-between spaces. There's so many of those where, like, they're waiting for a developer, or, like, we got plans down the road, but for the next X years it's going to be just this vacant piece of nothing, or like space that's unused. Those are so many opportunities like that around the city
and across other cities. Like, I'm really interested in thinking about this project as a good jumping off point, and how do we do these temporary projects in these spaces in transition, and there's so many opportunities. And I think part of this came out of too, I just go to so many meetings within the city, and there's so many really amazing people who work for the city of St. Paul who are dedicating their lives to making it be a great city.
I agree completely.
And on the outside, I think citizens get stuck in, like, when is the snow going to be plowed, or how many potholes we have, and forget that people are really creating change. And when these spaces lay kind of dormant, it kind of leads the citizens to feeling a bit hopeless, that, like, when will they get their park? And so I'm hoping that this project is a good way to show that, with a lot of great partners and big dreamers and a little bit of money, that these spaces could be really active and gather the community to start to come together. Like, right now I'm looking at James. I don't know, how old do you think James is?
68.
Yeah, 72, 68. But he just showed up randomly at the park when I got here with a bag holding his work boots, and asked if he could help remove the weeds around the side of the park. So I'm really hoping that this project brings the community together in the building of their park.
Yeah, and he's doing it right now. Like, the guy's got a shovel, and he's literally digging the weeds out, like, right now.
Yep.
Yeah, that's so great. Well, Amanda, it's nice talking to you, and your park is really cool, and it's not even done.
I know. Come back again.
Like, when? Oh, June, yeah.
Yeah, June, I think, like, June 28th is our opening date.
I can't wait.
And the flowers will be blooming in August.
Okay.
Oh, and there's free yoga every Saturday as well.
Okay.
At 9 a.m.
Cool. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Streets.mn podcast. Again, please consider joining Streets.mn if you appreciate this podcast or any of the other Streets.mn content online. If you have any feedback or ideas for future topics, you can comment on Streets.mn on this page, or on Twitter at StreetsMN, or you can email me at blindeke@gmail.com. For now, so long from downtown St. Paul.